Our Lady of Grace homilies are brought to you by a generous parishioner who encourages you to join in prayer for mission churches worldwide. Explore the Frontiers of Faith podcast for further insights into these missions.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to his disciples, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine grower. He takes away every branch in me that does not bear fruit, and every one that does, he prunes, so that it will bear more fruit. You are already pruned because of the word I have spoke to you. Remain in me, as I remain in you. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit of its own unless it remains on the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever remains in me and I in him will bear much fruit, because without me you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me will be thrown out like a branch and wither. People will gather them and throw them into a fire, and they will be burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask for whatever you want, and it will be done for you. By this is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples." The Gospel of the Lord.
One thing I love about the Acts of the Apostles, especially the early chapters that we've been reading during Easter, is that what we read about really makes the good news feel like good news. And when you read our first reading from the Acts of the Apostles, those last couple lines, the church throughout Judea, Galilee, and Samaria was at peace. It was being built up and walked in the fear of the Lord, and with the consolation of the Holy Spirit, it grew in numbers. So much positivity there. It really speaks of this pure joy in the community of believers. I mean, the thing is, we know that the Acts of the Apostles also talks about persecution. It wasn't all just a bed of roses. Paul suffered a lot for this joy that we read about. And I mean, that suffering side of things is probably what I tend to focus on much more in my preaching. But the Christian message does promise joy. And what's really important, what's really clear in these readings from the Acts of the Apostles is both that suffering and loss and challenge and sacrifice and the joy, these two things that the Christian message promises, real authentic happiness and real sacrifice. Both of these things are being experienced by the people in the early church that we read about in the Acts of the Apostles. These things that they have heard in the words of the gospel for them did not just stay words. They became something very real, a very real concrete experience for them. Right, there's a world of difference between words that are just spoken and heard, words that are just on a page, and those words that strike a chord in our heart that says, "Yes, I know that's true. As I've seen it, I've experienced it, I've lived through it." And that's exactly what we're seeing in the Acts of the Apostles. Every word of the gospel, every word of scripture is meant to be more than just a word. Right? And there definitely can be times when we hear something like that, and we think, okay, fine. Worked for the people in the Acts of the Apostles. That doesn't look much like my life. My life doesn't look like the Acts of the Apostles. I see these words on a page, and they don't seem to come alive for me. What I'm reading about doesn't seem to make much sense or have much impact on my life. Sometimes we can think that and just kind of throw our hands in the air and say, like, well, I don't know what to do about that. But John and Jesus, in our readings today, do give us something to do about that. Right, in a letter from 1 John, he says, "Let us not love in word and in speech, but in deed and in truth." That whole idea of the words of Scripture becoming alive, not just staying words, John takes that and puts the initiative back on the believer, which makes sense. We know that God's initiative always comes first. We know that we can do nothing without his grace. We also know that grace is already at work. God's already working. We wouldn't continue to exist if he wasn't. John rightly takes that knowledge and turns the initiative back on us. If we think that these words aren't coming alive for us, if we think that they're just words on a page and they're not translating into our experience, John has asked us the question, what are you doing about that? Right? He gives us concrete guidelines. He says, we know we remain in Jesus by keeping his commandments. He draws this distinction that to say that we're remaining in Jesus does not automatically make it true. What makes it true is when those words translate into our choices, which is something that is on our end to do. Jesus continues this theme in the gospel. It says, the Father takes away the branches that bear fruit and prunes the branches that do to bear more. Right? What is the difference between those two different kinds of branches? Right? The difference is the same difference between words that stay no more than words and words that actually have a referent in real life. And those branches that bear fruit, those words of the gospel have actually translated into something concrete. Concrete choices to take those words and make something happen with them. Right, so when we're thinking about this, the question that we always ought to be asking ourselves is, what does this look like? Anything we read in scripture, anything we read in the gospels, any teaching of Jesus, anything remotely religious that hits our eardrums, we ought to be asking ourselves the question, what does this look like? In my life, can I actually put an image from my own experience to these words? So when we think about Jesus's commandments and teachings, when we think about the miracles that Jesus worked, his healings, we think about this community of mutual support in the faith that we read about in the Acts of the Apostles. When we read about this joy that that community shared with each other. When we hear all of those words, we should ask ourselves, can I put an image to those words in my own life, in my own experience? And if the answer is no at this point, I mean, that's all right. Right? It's not always obvious how this is supposed to happen. But as John tells us, some of these things, some of these words that we read about come alive when we choose to act on them. If you think about that list that I just mentioned, Jesus's commandments. A commandment isn't going to do anything on its own. A commandment only does something when someone chooses to follow it. But some of those things on that list, Jesus's miraculous healings, for example, the joy that a Christian community experiences, these things aren't things that we can just choose. They're things that only can be given and received. We have to wholly receive them from our Heavenly Father. So between these two different kinds of words that we read, for the former, for Jesus' commandments, for the things that are our own choice to choose and make real, for the things that weigh on our own initiative and our personal actions in order to come alive, for those, we pray for the grace of the Holy Spirit, the grace of wisdom, the grace of fortitude to be able to choose them, to be able to live as Jesus actually taught us. And for the other things, those that are beyond our control, beyond our choice, a pure gift from our Heavenly Father, for those, we simply pray for the grace of receiving that gift. Either way, in any case, our constant prayer should be that the words of the gospel come alive for us, that these words of the gospel touch every part of our lives and our experience.